time during your busy day. I know 2020 has been a pretty tough year, but we are halfway through with it. So hallelujah. Gonna get through it. Hopefully I can provide you with some good entertainment while this all is going on. I know that the wrestling community, the WWE, AEW, Impact, everybody, they're all trying to make sure that we're good on the entertainment side, and I feel like they don't get enough credit, so I just want to say thank you, WWE, AEW, Impact, any wrestling promotion that's running right now. Y'all are definitely risking your health just to entertain us people back home, and for people like me just to pick your product apart, it's not fair, but it is what it is. I got to do what I got to do. The show must go on, like Vince McMahon always says. Want to remind you to please rate, review, and subscribe, and tell a friend, and tell that friend, and tell that friend. One Man Faction, the best wrestling podcast in your ear holes right now. Big news, I said it last week, I'll remind you, the podcast is now on the iHeartRadio app, so you can listen to us, download it on the iHeartRadio app if that's where you get your podcast. Make sure you follow the podcast on all social media at OMFPod, Twitter, Instagram, and even on TikTok at OMFPod. Like the page on Facebook, facebook.com/onemanfaction. Posting content pretty much on a regular basis now. I slacked off a little bit, but now we are good to go getting this content out there and just trying to make these moves out here. So we're going to grow this thing. We're going to grow it organically. All right. So it's going to be a long process. I know that, but I believe that with y'all's support and y'all's help, the podcast can get to where it needs to go. Because I feel like this has something to offer everybody in the world, and we just got to get it out there. All right. So appreciate it. Episode number 13, 13 weeks going strong, and loved every second of it. The show prep, just, I mean, ain't nothing better than watching wrestling and then talking about it, right? Ain't nothing better. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. So let's get back into it. I hate to start it off with some bad news, but we got to get into the sexual allegation talk. I said I would talk about it this week. I just wanted to see if any more details were going to come out, if any more wrestlers were going to get exposed. Pretty quiet on the sexual allegation side of things. As we all know, Sammy Guevara, what he said, you know, back in 2016, how he wanted to rape Sasha Banks, and now he is suspended indefinitely. And by the way, good move on AEW's part. I don't know if they're getting the credit that they deserve, but to suspend one of their younger talent, one of the guys who is definitely going to be leading the way for a long time to come, suspended without pay for a undisclosed amount of time, indefinitely suspended. Big move on their part. It shows you that they're not going to tolerate this. WWE, they released Jack Gallagher. He had some stuff talked about him too. Matt Riddle has some stuff leaked about him. Velveteen Dream, we all know I talked about his struggles earlier. I'm not sure how much that's going to come to light. I heard early in the week that a release is coming soon for the Dream. I hope that's not true. But if the WWE feels like that's what they need to do, then that's what they got to do. He's very talented, and I mean, it would just be a shame that he just threw his career away like that at such a young age. Also, another young superstar accused of some sexual misconduct, Austin Theory. Apparently at a show, this girl who was 13 at the time, guess he got a little too touchy-feely with her and kind of exposed him a little bit. Apparently he slid into her DMs as well. That's probably a big reason why he wasn't on TV too, because they're doing an investigation on that deal too. It's just, it's a messed up time right now, man. It really is. I'm not excusing any wrestler of any action that they did, because obviously it's totally wrong. You got to know what kind of position you're in. Now, I don't know if Austin Theory thought that he was, but when this incident happened, I don't know if he thought that he would be on Monday Night Raw by now, but you got to prepare for your future. Stuff don't get deleted. Everything comes full circle. You can ask Sammy Guevara. Something that he said 4 years ago is happening right now. Velveteen Dream, something he did a long time ago. Now Austin Theory, something he did a long time ago. Coming back to bite him. So you can't not let your past haunt you. You always got to do the right thing. Hopefully they can learn from this situation and they can become better people out of it. Charlotte Flair taking a break. Well deserved by the queen. Well deserved. Y'all know how I feel about Charlotte Flair. I think she's the greatest women's superstar ever, and it's not even close. Not Trish, not Lita, not Moolah, not Mae Young. Charlotte freaking Flair. The greatest women's superstar of all time, and she still has a lot left in the tank to do. this is a well-deserved break for her. I mean, she's been running hard since WrestleMania, been on every show since WrestleMania, having two or three matches a week sometimes, defending her NXT championship, gave a good win to Asuka on her way out, got tapped out, lost clean. No debate about that. Asuka finally beat Charlotte. And now she can enjoy her time off and come back better, go straight into the title picture so she can get to be a 16-time women's champion. Like, I'm sure that is going to happen. Now, since Charlotte is gone, Becky is gone, it is time to start elevating some new stars in the Raw Women's Division. You have Bianca Belair debuted, had a match with Zelina Vega, and ain't done nothing since. Why is that? Bianca Belair is probably the most athletic superstar, men or women, on the WWE roster. And you have her on Main Event. Why? Shayna Baszler had all this hype around her. Wiped out the whole Women's Elimination Chamber field. Pinned them all. Never done before by any superstar. Pinned every single superstar in that match. And now she's not on TV anymore. Now her Vince isn't really sold on her yet. And you know, if Vince ain't sold on you, it's just you're out of there with it. So hopefully she can prove something to Vince and become that killer that she was in NXT. Because like, there hasn't really been, actually, you know what? I don't think there's ever been like a women's equivalent to a Brock Lesnar on the main roster. Shayna Baszler was that, but like, she actually had longer matches than Brock Lesnar. So hopefully they can do something with her too. Looks like they're going to give Natty some more leeway than me. Hey, they mentioned a crazy stat. I didn't even know about this. Natalya has the most wins by a female superstar in WWE history. I had no idea. Natty Neidhart. No clue. She should have had more championships. She's only had two championships. No tag championships. No big wins. No Money in the Bank wins. No Royal Rumbles. But she has the most wins by a female superstar in WWE history. No clue. Now, obviously, WWE, they don't really count wins like that. They don't portray your record unless you're on a losing streak. Ask Curt Hawkins. Maybe they should, though. Maybe they should take that from AEW, start mentioning their record. Because, like, these are athletes. We know football teams winning streaks. We know basketball teams wins and losses. We know golfers wins in tournaments. We know tennis players wins in tournaments. Why don't we know wrestlers wins overall? I mean, technically it's going to be a lot to keep up with because they do wrestle a lot. You count the stuff that's not on TV as well. How would you count tag matches if you're not pinned? But it looks like they're going to give Natty some shine. Ruby Riott's back. Apparently she hasn't won a match since she's been back on TV as well. I saw a stat that she's actually been 0-11. Zero wins, 11 losses since she's come back from her injury. Maybe her and Liv will reform the Riott Squad. Obviously, Sarah Logan is gone from the WWE. Maybe they'll reform the Riott Squad and form a tag team and go out to the championships. Who knows? But we need to see something from this Raw Women's Division. Nia Jax wasn't even on TV last week, I don't think. If she was, I don't remember it. But speaking of women, let's go to a different promotion. Impact Wrestling, TNA. Tessa Blanchard, out of there. Just like that, gone. She wasn't cooperating with management. She was in Mexico during the quarantine, and she wasn't coming to TV. They asked her to send in some promo videos, and she wouldn't cooperate, wouldn't send in any promo videos. Now, this is their world champion. Remember that whole hubbub when she beat Sami Callihan for the Impact World Championship? First woman to hold a major championship on a major promotion like Impact. They made history with her. And this is how she does them. Ain't no one getting no tapes. So now there's going to be a match to determine the new Impact World Champion. Now, I don't know where Tessa Blanchard goes from here. Apparently, WWE sent out some feelers on her. But my thing is, she wrestled in the first Mae Young Classic. I don't think she won a match either. I think she may have won one, but she didn't win the whole thing. And now they want to sign her again. If you liked her that much, why didn't you just sign her to begin with? But she could go to AEW so her daddy could keep an eye on her, babysit her, make sure she don't act up. You don't know, her dad is Tully Blanchard, the manager of Sean Spears. So I think that would be a good fit for her, too. They need someone in that women's division, like, badly. So if it's going to be Tessa, it's going to be Tessa. So we can make that happen, for real, for real. She can be someone that could be like that Charlotte Flair type of athlete. Because they don't really have anyone like that on the AEW women's roster, in my opinion. But if you put Tessa in WWE and have her go up against Charlotte, between her, Charlotte, and Rhea, that's a division you can build around. You put Tessa on SmackDown, Charlotte's already on Raw, Rhea in NXT. Those are your cornerstones out there. Then that can be women's wrestling for the next 10, 12 years. Let's talk about TNA, though. I really don't talk about them a lot in the podcast. You know, I kind of like the direction they're going in. Looks like they're about to bring back Aces and Eights, which is really the last time I watched TNA on a regular basis when Aces and Eights were on the TV. So it looks like D'Lo's going to start that one up again. And Moose is, I was totally wrong. I thought Moose was the world champion, but he is the TNA champion, and Tessa was the Impact champion. Had no idea that they were doing that. I kind of like the angle, though. Bringing in that old history, mixing it with the new one. Like what they're doing. They keep going in this direction. You know, I can see big things for TNA Impact Wrestling. Got some breaking news, though. You know, we love breaking news on the One Man Faction. So WWE has bought the promotion Evolve. They have done a lot of work with them, sending their talent over there to wrestle wrestlers on Evolve. Orange Cassidy wrestled a show on Evolve. He wrestled the Velveteen Dream, actually. Also, Velveteen Dream actually wrestled Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin on Evolve. They sent a lot of NXT talent to work shows over there. They even put one of their shows on the WWE Network. That's where Austin Theory came from. He was a big star in Evolve. And now they have purchased Evolve. I kind of saw it coming just because, like, the partnership was very strong with them. And that's just another territory WWE can look at and hopefully bring in some more talent for the future and be a place to go for promising superstars. But it may steer them away because we all hear the horror stories about WWE, how they take talent and ruin them. Once they get to Raw and SmackDown, Vince gets their hands on them, it's over for them. They take everything that made them and strip them down and try to make them in their image. So it may, in a way, kind of steer people away from Evolve just because AEW's out now and that's an alternative too. They can make big money and be on national TV. They don't have to go to WWE. But just be on the lookout for that. I think it's going to be a good partnership. Also, some more breaking news. We got a big spoiler for next week's NXT Great American Bash Night 2. I'm not going to tell you what it is. One of the wrestlers, one of the guys from the tag team, Endu Share, leaked a picture. Oh, it's going to be bad for that guy, man. Ugh, I can't even imagine the wrath about to come down on that man. For real, though. So he leaked a picture of a match that was very hyped and very promoted for next week's show. The results of that match, that's all I'm going to say. If you want to look for the spoiler yourself, go ahead and look for it. But, I mean, for me, I don't like being spoiled on stuff. NXT obviously used to just run on WWE Network, and they didn't run live. So when Tommaso Ciampa won the NXT Championship, someone that was at the taping for that, and the crowd taped it and put it online. And, boy, I was heated because that would have been a shock to me. I don't like spoilers, man. I think spoilers ruin wrestling. That's why I'm kind of glad Backstage is gone in a weird way. I mean, I'm sorry for, like, Renee and all those guys that were employed by that. But they were spoiling everything. John Cena coming back. John Morrison coming back. You couldn't literally, like, have anything just not ruined. Because Backstage had to break the news. I mean, I get it. It's wrestling analysis and breaking news. I mean, they do that on the ESPN shows. They always break news on there. We don't wait for stuff to happen on the field and be like, oh, he signed with this guy? I mean, what if you just, in some football talk, what if they didn't break news on SportsCenter? What if they just let the season play and the next thing you know, you see Cam Newton on the Patriots? I'm like, oh, shoot, Cam Newton plays for the Patriots now. What kind of world would that be? Works in NFL, but don't work for wrestling. Odd, man. Very odd. So, I mean, not a lot happened on SmackDown. Looks like they're going to be another cinematic match between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, the old Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds version of Bray Wyatt, and I'm hyped about it. if it's anything like the Boneyard match and anything like that, it's going to be a good. We saw what they did with the Ultimate Deletion between those two, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Good stuff they had, man. As long as it doesn't end up like, you know, I mean, the New Day stuff with the Wyatt family, I actually enjoyed it. A lot of people didn't. The House of Horrors match, I actually enjoyed. A lot of people did not. If it's anything like those two, I'm cool with it. We're going to see Braun out of his element, or I guess back into his element, since he lived that life before. So I'm looking forward to it, man. Let's jump into Raw. So Sasha Banks says she wants to challenge Asuka for her Raw Women's Championship. Bayley and Sasha can both be double champions, and honestly, I would love to see it. I think what they're doing right now, Bayley and Sasha, some of the best work. I know it's Bayley's. This is the best work Bayley has ever done in her career. I'm hype about it, man. I hope it happens. Just hold all the gold. Screw it. Just hold all of it. I'll tell you what I didn't like, though. Why did Andrade and Angel Garza look so good against the Viking Raiders, but look so bad against the Big Show? Like, what is that? You're trying to build these guys. These are the future of your company, right? And it's like it's a two-on-one handicap match. I don't care what type of arguments they had and their differences as a team. They should look better than that against the Big Show. A part-timer who maybe wrestles nowadays 5 times a year. People saying Vince McMahon thinks Angel Garza is a young Eddie Guerrero. Well, why don't you treat him like it? Why didn't he have a better showing against the Big Show? In a 2-on-1 handicap match, him and Andrade. They shouldn't have been manhandled like that. It's like they almost got squashed. Luckily, they had a longer match. It might as well have been shorter. They had a killer match with the Viking Raiders. I think that was the best match on Raw. And then they just get absolutely killed by the Big Show. That's booking for you. That is booking right there. But enough of that. The good news, MVP finally got a win on Monday Night Raw. Ever since he came back as a superstar, manager, whatever he is, has not got a win. Lost everything there was to lose. Now, granted, he is a veteran. Veterans don't need a win like that. Maybe he's just there to help out the younger talent, give them some shine. I mean, he's doing great things for Bobby Lashley. But I like where this is going with him and Apollo. I would love to see MVP hold the United States Championship again, just for my nostalgia purposes, because that was like my prime watching. That was like my peak time watching wrestling, when MVP was that United States champion, longest reigning U.S. champion ever in SmackDown history. He doesn't really need it. Apollo definitely needs him more. Speaking of championships, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, this is a transition feud. How you lose twice, two or three times to Otis, and now you get a WWE Championship match? I don't get that. I mean, you could have used Jinder Mahal in this spot. I would have loved to see that instead of this. Because he's like, you got a guy who's coming back. There's history between him and Drew, as well as there is history between Dolph and Drew. Not as interesting as history between Jinder and Drew. But at the same time, I don't think Dolph should be in this spot, especially with Extreme Rules, the horror show. By the way, what's horror about Extreme Rules? They changed the color of the logo. Now it's Extreme Rules, the horror show. Hadn't really been a lot of Extreme Rules matches announced. So Dolph's going to pick the stipulation between him and Drew. And then we have the swap match between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. That's it. I'm sure Sheamus and Jeff Hardy will do something crazy. Asuka and Sasha Banks, that does not have a stipulation. Bayley, Nikki Cross does not have a stipulation. So I'm still waiting for this pay-per-view to get extreme. But enough of that. Let's get into something that was highly talked about on the internet. These promos on AEW between MJF and Taz. Obviously, MJF mentioning that there is a ratings war going on. We all know that. I love how AEW doesn't try to hide it, that they're competing. NXT, they don't mention nothing about AEW. Which is whatever. That's cool. That's the whole thing. They really don't need to mention them. AEW been kicking their butt ever since they've been on TV. I mean, shoot. They maybe won a couple of ratings wars against them. And then when they have won, it has been with main roster talent. The Survivor Series episode where the main roster invaded NXT. And then the couple of episodes where Bayley and Sasha Banks have been on NXT and Charlotte's been on NXT. Rating boosters. I don't think they've won with just their talent, which is cool, whatever. MJF mentioned the ratings war. He talked about how green Luchasaur is, and he's not talking about that type of green. I guess he's talking about that spot where he kind of hesitated on his shooting star press. That was funny, man. And then Taz talking about how they don't run a sloppy shop with their COVID testing. Renee Young getting COVID and Caleb Braxton getting COVID. And a couple of unnamed superstars that also got COVID. Not running a sloppy shop. No one has tested positive for COVID in AW yet, so he has a point there. I like how they brought that up. Taz is just great, man. He really is. He's doing a lot for that company. I'm glad that they saw what Taz still has to offer for wrestling, and they brought him in, and they put him in Brian Cage. I wasn't sure. I was like, why does Taz need to be an on-screen character? Why doesn't he just do commentary? But I love it, man. His promos are just fire. That he got that thick New York accent, man. I love it. This may be the first bad idea AEW's ever done, though. A puppy battle royal? Really, guys? Are y'all just looking for stuff to put on TV now? Y'all couldn't think of nothing else. Y'all trying to do the Puppy Bowl, and now it's Puppy Battle Royal. I mean, I get Tony Khan. He owns the Jaguars. His father owns the Jaguars. They do the Puppy Bowl for the Super Bowl, which is probably the only close thing to a Super Bowl they're going to get is the Puppy Bowl, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I guess he's like, you know, why don't we do a Puppy Battle Royal? Which is fine. Chris Jericho talked about how in the Stadium Stampede match, Tony Khan really pushed for that spot where Chris challenged the call, and he brought out the red challenge flag. This is probably something that Tony Khan probably pushed for, too, is a Puppy Battle Royal. We'll see what works out, though. This may be their first bad idea. Also, like, so if you watch, Jake Hager punched a referee after he thought he won the TNT Championship, but he ended up being pinned by Cody. He punched a referee, and then I get a notification on my phone from Bleacher Report. Like, it's a real sport. Like, it wasn't scripted backstage. Jake Hager suspended for 10 days and fined an undisclosed amount for punching referee. I'm like, huh, you know, there's been a lot of referees punched in the WWE before. I don't think I've ever gotten a notification that someone has been suspended and fined for punching a referee. But they said they're going to treat it like a real sport. And, you know, I kind of digged it. I was like, people don't think this actually, like, was a shoot. Some people can't really tell the difference between scripted and real life. And after they get the notification via Bleacher Report, they're going to be like, oh, man, maybe that wasn't supposed to happen. So good on AEW for doing that. That's pretty funny. You know what else was funny this week? Cody's shirt. If you didn't know, so Cody wore the American Nightmare Cody, but it was in the print of the old Great American Bash logo, and NXT was doing the Great American Bash themed show for this week. So I just thought that was funny. I mean, his dad invented the pay-per-view, so he can do whatever he wants with it, honestly. I just thought that was good marketing. They probably won't even sell that shirt online. That was probably just like a one-time, one-night exclusive type of deal. Hopefully WWE didn't take too much of offense by it. FTR doing their thing at the commentary booth, drinking a couple brewskis, watching the tag team championship match. They gave Hangman a beer, gave Kenny beer. I know, you know, Hangman ain't going to turn down no brewski now, I'll tell you that much. But they should know better with Kenny. They know that boy don't drink beer. They know he don't drink. Why didn't they bring him like a... They could have brought him a carton of milk, and he would have been cool with it. But y'all know good and well he don't drink. And y'all are offended that he didn't drink it. Come on now. Before I get into NXT, I do want to mention one more thing about Hager. He's supposed to be like a MMA fighter, right? So how come he didn't have like the awareness when he had Cody in his submission? And he was clearly on his back. You clearly hear the referee. And you clearly hear the referee pounding on the mat. One, two, three. You can hear that. But for some reason, he didn't kick out, didn't move Cody, didn't get into the more dominant position. And he gets up like he thought he won, like he tapped out. What? No, Jake. Come on, bro. You fighting Bellator. You know better. You know better. I just thought that was odd. If they were going to do that, he should have acknowledged that he thought he won. He should have just been shocked. Let's jump over to NXT. So, Tegan Nox getting that women's championship opportunity. Io and Tegan, going to be a good match. You know, Tegan has come a long way since her knee surgery. Both knees, I guess. She was out for almost 2 years with dealing with those surgeries, and looks like she's back to full form, and she is a force to be reckoned with in the women's division. I love that she does a choke slam. She's not very tall, but it works for her. So I'm looking forward to their match with them. Rhea Ripley was very impressive to me, even though she was facing Aaliyah and Robert Stone. But the double Texas Cloverleaf that she put on them, that was impressive. I'm not even going to lie. I was like, man, that's I don't care who you are. To get two people who are at least over 120 pounds and to put them both in the submission hold was fire. I was like, bro, Rhea's a freaking star. It would have been interesting to see her end up with the Robert Stone brand, though. That's something I thought I would have liked to see. But honestly, it is what it is. I'm glad Robert Stone got some ring time, though, because if you watched him in Impact as Robbie E., very talented wrestler. Maybe they'll see more of that. I don't know if he's going to be like the James Ellsworth of NXT where he's just doing these intergender matches. But if he is, I think that's a good spot for him. I'm just glad he is doing it. The Roddy Strong and Dexter Lumis match. Another good match, man. I'm glad they're using Dexter. I've been a fan of Dexter ever since I saw him in NXT. Ever since he's been in Impact, really. And I don't know. So it seemed like the crowd was chanting, "Strap on Roddy." I don't know if they're doing "Strap in Roddy," but it sounded like "Strap on Roddy" to me. If they're chanting "Strap on Roddy," that's freaking hilarious. Oh, you know, I didn't even talk about how they're doing two nights of the Bash too. I thought there was only going to be a one night event, but no. Of course, NXT got to go two nights against AEW. I should have saw it coming. Because you know the weird thing, I was like, you know, it's weird to have this pay-per-view 1 week and then you have this big winner-take-all championship match the next week and have it not be on a pay-per-view. I thought that was very odd, but obviously I was wrong. Adam Cole versus Keith Lee is going to be on night two of the Great American Bash. Had no idea. New to me. Looking forward to seeing more of Johnny Gargano and Swerve. Swerve has definitely come onto the scene very strong. Has not been getting booked very well, in my opinion. But if you've seen him wrestle as Shane Strickland back in the Indies, phenomenal competitor. Him and Gargano will be perfect opponents for each other, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing what those two can do with each other. And hopefully they can make some magic. And hopefully it'll make Swerve a freaking star. Because that's what we need to start building. It's always working for the future. That's the guy who's going to be there a long time, too. And another thing, looks like Asuka is bringing back The Mist. I think I mentioned on one of my podcasts, I'm like, they took The Mist away. I feel like because with everything going on, I feel like spitting in someone's face is probably not the best thing to do right now, but they brought it back. I guess everyone was cool with it. I just hope she got COVID tested and came back negative because, bro, if Sasha Banks did not have COVID, she definitely got it now. And on that note, I'm going to kill it right here, man. Thank y'all for checking in. We'll be back next week for another episode, and we're going to do a review of night two of both Fyter Fest and the Great American Bash. Thank y'all. Once again, my name is Connor. Please rate, review, and subscribe.